You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This year, every plate is serving up their most sizzling deal yet. $1 steak every single week. Not only can you dig into 10 ounces of delicious steak for just a dollar, but you can enjoy every plate's other tasty meals for just $1.49 each. Whether you're resolving to save money or just want to enjoy every bite in 2024, America's Best Value Meal Kit has you covered. Get started with $1 steak every week and meals for $1.49 each with code DCS49 at everyplate.com. Everyplate.com.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A commuter train jumps the tracks in Northern California and catches fire. Bay Area Rapid Transit says no one was hurt in the partial derailment in Orinda, but passengers were shaken.
Somebody behind us was like, just jump. So we just jumped and was outside, like Mission Impossible almost, but like not in a cool way, like in a very bad way, like scary. And like just jumping out and then just seeing the smoke behind us and having to run out.
Service was delayed for hours. A major earthquake along the Sea of Japan coastline briefly prompted a tsunami warning. Number 1 Michigan and number 4 Alabama will play in today's Rose Bowl. It's the first of two college football playoff semifinal games. The winner will take on the winner of the Sugar Bowl, where number 2 Washington meets number 3 Texas. New York wins the inaugural game of the Professional Women's Hockey League, beating Toronto 4-0. The financial markets are closed for New Year's Day. This is ABC News. Police in Pasadena, California, arrest a woman who crashed into a barricade at today's Rose Parade.
Pasadena Police Lieutenant Monica Cuellar says two off-duty law enforcement members stopped the woman and detained her.
They saved many people because if she were able to continue driving, she would have hit the barricades, causing many people to be injured or even possibly die.
Investigators are now trying to determine what caused the woman to crash. Blake Trolley, ABC News, Pasadena.
You know, this may not be a bad time to look at your 401k. Stocks closed out 2023 up 24% as easing inflation, a resilient economy, and the prospect of lower interest rates encouraged investors, especially over the last 2 months of the year. $810 million? Well, that would certainly pad any retirement account, and that's how much is up for grabs in tonight's Powerball jackpot, or just over $408 million if you opt for all cash. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Republican lawmakers have asked the state Supreme Court to reconsider a finding that Wisconsin's legislative district boundaries are unconstitutional.
The court ruled on December 22nd that the current legislative district boundaries are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous. However, attorneys representing numerous state Senate Republicans filed a motion with the court last week. They say they can't meet a January 12th deadline for new maps. The motion also argues argues the Supreme Court did not listen to their arguments in the case, nor did it give them a chance to respond to the deadline for the new boundaries. The State Elections Commission has said new maps must be in place by March 15th in order to be used for the 2024 election. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
2023 ended on a deadly note on central Wisconsin highways.
A 25-year-old Wisconsin Dells woman was killed on Interstate 39 near Plover when she lost control of her vehicle, causing it to roll and cross over from the northbound lanes to the southbound lanes. Her vehicle was then struck by a van carrying two people who were both injured. Then in Lincoln County, one person died in a UTV accident along a county road outside Merrill. Investigators there say the vehicle rolled and trapped the driver, a 48-year-old man, who died at the scene. A passenger in the UTV suffered minor injuries and left the scene on their own. Both crashes occurred Saturday night. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A man has died after his van drove into a Racine River early Saturday morning. The Racine County Sheriff's Office says the van entered the parking lot of the Chart Room restaurant at a high rate of speed. The van then struck a retaining wall, went airborne, entered the Root River, and sank. Dive teams from area first responders located the van in the river, as well as the unidentified 78-year-old man driving it.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Remaining cloudy for the rest of New Year's Day, we'll see a high near 30 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 23. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, we'll see a high near 34. For Wednesday, a few flurries, otherwise mostly sunny in the afternoon with a high near 29. Wednesday night, clear, cold, 13. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 27. That's weather from Severe Studios. Right now, it's 22.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, this is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, happy new year to you and yours. Thanks for joining us here today on AOA. Coming up, we have a best of program for you here for the New Year's holiday today. In segment two, we're going to listen into our recent conversation with John Halsman, author of Geopolitical Strategist, that originally aired on December 21st. In segment three, we'll catch up with Corey Rosenbusch for the Fertilizer Institute. We talked to Corey back on December 6th about what's happening in the fertilizer markets and the industry as a whole. And at the end of the show, we will catch up with Louis Pugh from Owina, talking about some of the trucking regulations and issues facing truckers that could have an impact on farming and ranching. We will hear that interview from December 21st coming up at the end of the program today. First up, though, let's get some thoughts on the dairy industry, the markets, the milk production report that just came out from Robin Schmall with Ag Dairy, a division of JSA and AgMarket.net that originally aired on December 22nd.
Well, Robin, let's take a look at that milk production report first. It looked like milk production down slightly in the month of November. As you take a look at the numbers, what are some of the key things that stand out to you? What are some of the key factors?
I think some of the key factors would be the cow numbers of the decline from October to November. Mm-hmm. We were down 10,000 head in the U.S., and that's a sizable number that we haven't seen again for a while. Stands to reason based on our lower prices that we're looking at again, but yet that's probably, we have to see more of that really in order to get support under this market. The down 0.5% in the 24 states, 0.6 in the U.S. really is not a big issue off of this report. So you can view this report as a little friendly, but the interesting thing when we're breaking down the numbers a little bit is it's the lowest cow numbers that we've had since June of 2020.
Wow.
But then the lowest milk production, monthly milk production, only is back to February of this year. So we have seen the strength in the production per cow, but the production per cow is the lowest since November 2021. So we have been seeing stronger production per cow, making up for some of the decrease in the overall herd. So that's why partially why we're not seeing the strength that we might have seen or we did see based on how the market was moving at the end of 2021, which got real concern over a tight milk market.
Well, I think about those numbers and interesting points you bring up, thinking about the tight milk number and some of those lowest numbers since 2020. And I look at this dairy market in general here towards the end of the year, Robin, and we've seen our fair share of volatility throughout Class 3 milk futures, throughout cheese prices, butter, et cetera. Talk to me a little bit about this trade overall here as we near the end of the year. Can we expect this volatility to continue, do you think? What are you looking at right now?
Yeah, I think we'll see volatility, but I think it's going to be muted relative to what we did see, especially in the butter market. We're, you know, butter has been climbing a little bit lately, but, you know, you have some fill-in buying. They come in a little more aggressively. Once that fill-in buying is satisfied, the price drops back again. Cheese has been struggling a little bit more. I think we're going to see the volatility, but it's going to be a muted volatility relative to what we had because for one reason, especially in the cheese side of it, manufacturers are not holding on to cheese. They want to move this product. They don't want to pay storage on it. They want to move this product through the end of the year. So they're not banking on, oh, maybe we're going to see a surge in demand. Maybe we're going to be able to get another 20 cents a pound or so out of this cheese in the next month. They're not looking at it that way. The overall attitude is really not positive, at least for the foreseeable future. But they're moving it. And demand has been good, but not good enough. And the real impact probably overall that we've seen is just the slower exports. So through the end of the year, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of trend being developed any way or the other. And then we move into the first part of the year, which normally is a slower demand period. Some inventories start to be built. And we're going to end the year potentially with inventory similar to the end of last year. So there's just not a lot underneath that market to get traders excited right now.
Oh, good thoughts there, thinking about that. And I'm glad you brought up getting into next year, because I think we can segue our conversation a little bit to, you know, what's it going to take to rebuild this cow herd? I think on the cattle side, the beef side, what's it going to take to rebuild our beef herds as well, as we got very low numbers on that side of the equation? What are your thoughts there? I mean, what are we looking at in terms of starting to maybe rebuild our cow herd and for dairy and our beef herd in general as we get into next year? Is it going to take a while, Robin? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to take a while. I think we've come off the high prices in the beef herd, and there was a real push there to try to somewhat, well, I shouldn't say maybe a real push to somewhat, you know, increase potential for cow numbers, because with the high prices, there were a lot of these females that were getting slaughtered. So even with the decrease we've had in a drought situation on the beef herd, I mean, we're really looking at a slow rebuild potentially, and it's probably going to take more than this next year to do that. But along with that, we can't get too bullish. And what I mean by bullish is that we're going to move back up to $200, you know, or anything, because it's the demand driven. And mm-hmm. that's where we are right now. And when we've looked at box beef prices over the last few months, they've actually been trending lower. So that's an indication of a little bit slower demand. Part of that because of the higher interest rates, maybe a little bit less disposable income, change in eating habits, maybe a little bit lower restaurant traffic, which we hear that back and forth, and some of that depends on the location. So that's going to take a while. But like I tell some of my customers and stuff is when they ask about, well, how come prices are so low? Because cow numbers are tight. And I, tongue in cheek, I said, well, if there's only one cow left in the country and nobody wants it, the price is too high. But I'm not going to that extent. But I think we're going to find a balance in here. And I think we might see some stronger beef prices as we move along here. But revisiting the highs we had before, I think is going to be very difficult to achieve. And when looking over on the dairy side, it's going to be interesting rebuilding that herd because we've had a large push for beef on dairy because of the high prices. And what I'm hearing from customers and other dairy farmers out there that have done some expansion or whatever, heifer supplies are tight and they're higher priced. And I think that's a result of this more of a push to beef on dairy. And that's not going to change anytime real soon. So I think on our biannual inventory report we're going to have at the end of January, we're going to see tighter heifer numbers, the ratio to dairy cattle, like we saw in the July report, where we saw like the lowest ratio of heifers to cows, I believe. I don't have it in front of me now, but I believe since like 2003.
More Best of AOA coming up next.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the Nationalist.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, welcome back to our Best Of program for AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Right now, let's listen back to a recent conversation with author and geopolitical strategist John Holzman that we had back on December 21st.
Well, I want to keep the shameless plug up for just a second, and I want to talk about your book here, because I know we've touched on this the last few times you've been on, and looking forward to seeing the book available here and in people's hands in just a few short weeks, The Last Best Hope, A History of American Realism. Can you give us a little bit of a background on the book and what folks can expect when they read it?
Yes, I mean, I've written 14 now, and whether I write 14 or 15, nobody but my grandmother might care about. But the reason I took time to write another book was to get a positive agenda for where we go from here. We spend our time talking about crises, but this is a book for what America should do to protect its citizens for the new era we live in. Looking back at our history to go forward, from a Beatles point of view, it's get back. What did Washington, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Eisenhower, Reagan, the Kennedy brothers, what did they do right? They were all realists, and we should go back to this philosophy of how to run a foreign policy of Americans and by Americans. And so the book is an effort to take us forward for the next generation.
Well, again, it's available January 10th, and you can go to Amazon to find a pre-order of it as well. Again, The Last Best Hope, A History of American Realism. John, when you bring up some of those thoughts with the book here, and we kind of think about just the state of world politics and more as we round out 2023 and look ahead to 2024. You know, it feels like I mentioned this during the commercial break when we were chatting. It feels like there's something new every day between wars and elections and much more. That global landscape continues to just kind of change day in and day out, doesn't it, John?
It does, Jesse. And because everything seems to be on fire, it's exactly the time for realism. What realism does well is separate what's vital for Americans, what on a nice day we'd like to have happen, and what doesn't matter very much. If you love everything, you love nothing. And so it takes us up to the present day and says, if you follow this old philosophy that I believe in, how would you deal with the crises of today? I mean, it's an operational, actionable ending to the book. And it looks at things as far afield as the war with Gaza, a lot about Ukraine, and a lot about our competition with China. What of this is vital? As you know, I think it's the Indo-Pacific and China. What of this is peripheral, Ukraine? And what's somewhere in the middle? And that would be Gaza. And then we go into detail as to why. But the key is not to lump this stuff together like an early Connery Bond film where Spectre is behind every evil thing going on in the world, but to separate them, to see the complexity and see how each of these things affects Americans, and then to proceed accordingly.
I think in terms of the Gaza situation, because that is, of course, exploded here since we last talked.
Yes.
That's having a lot of impacts on global trade flows, I know, as well, and which in turn affects, you know, farmers and ranchers here in the U.S. and really folks around the world with the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. But that situation feels like that is a humanitarian travesty, what is going on over there, first off. But in just terms of the powder keg that has been lit there, that feels like a very scary situation to me in the Middle East, John.
It is. The two things to watch, the two canaries in the coal mine that are a sign that it's getting out of control. As long as the war is localized in Gaza, it's not. But if Hezbollah in Lebanon and Israel start in a meaningful way fighting around the Litani River in the south of Lebanon, that's a sign it's gotten out of control, because Hezbollah is very closely tied to Iran, far more closely tied to Iran than is Hamas. And then you mentioned the other one, which is geoeconomic and affects us all, and particularly the folks who listen to our show. The price of energy is dependent on the Red Sea. Yemen is a client, or the Houthis, the rebellious people shooting into the Red Sea at the strait at the bottom in Yemen of the Red Sea. If this gets out of control and they aren't swept aside, we've heard BP say, well, we'll have to go around to Africa instead of through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. This adds weeks to timing, will really lead to a vast inflation in price. And that's why the United States is scrambling with allies such as the British, Sundance to our Butch Cassidy, as always, to try to tell the Houthis, if you fire back, we're going to have to take you out because we can't allow the strait to be shut. So those are the two things to keep your eye on.
As far as the U.S.-China relations, we know that they are pretty dicey at this point in time, John. And we saw a meeting here a few months back between President Xi, President Biden. It didn't feel like to me that meeting really yielded much of anything. I know there's the Taiwan issue, of course. There's a lot here. What's, in your opinion, as we near the end of the year, what's the current state of U.S.-China relations? It feels like they're still not very good.
Oh, no, it didn't resolve anything. The only good thing to say is that we have to regularly talk to our enemies. So that's another realist view, by the way, that foreign policy isn't just working with the Canadians, that occasionally we have to talk, as Nixon went to China, we have to talk to some very bad people. China's the other dominant power in the world, our peer competitor superpower. We should talk to them regularly. And literally, the new military staff in China, the new elite, were not returning our phone calls. So the fact that Biden met with Xi is important, that we just have constant discussions about what goes on so things don't get out of hand. But what we've learned in just the last couple days is that Xi said forthrightly to Biden what he said many times before, but to the president's face, we are going to retake Taiwan. There is no timetable. We'd like to do it peacefully, but don't doubt that we are going to take it back. And that is very blunt conversation and ties into everything we've been saying, Jesse, on the show for the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, very, very true. Again, we're talking with author, geopolitical strategist John Halsman. His new book, The Last Best Hope, A History of American Realism, is available for pre-order right now and will be available on January 10th. John, I know as well, tied in with everything going on around the world, we got a presidential election coming up here in the U.S. in 2024. It's already starting to kind of get into that silly season, for lack of a better term, here as we figure out who the candidates are all going to be. We've had other elections around the world too that I know a lot of eyes have been on. I think Argentina and Javier Milei, things like that. As you look at the overall election season that is here and in front of us, is there anything you're watching closely there, John?
You've mentioned the two that really interest me, Jesse. Milei is fascinating because there's been 80 years of statism in Argentina, peronism, and it's taken a country with every conceivable resource and made it a basket case. If you want an argument as to why socialism doesn't work, have a look at Venezuela and Argentina, who by rights ought to be two of the richest countries in the world. And in fact, in 1900, Argentina was the 8th richest country in the world, and now it defaults on its loans pretty regularly. Milei comes in as a libertarian and says, shock therapy. We're going to devalue the peso. Eventually, we want to dollarize. We're going to cut red tape, and we're going to try to start the engine. And as a petri dish to watch, does capitalism revive even the worst of situations? I'm fascinated by what he's doing and if the people of Argentina can deal with the shock therapy coming. And then, of course, their own election. We would be remiss not to say that what goes on in the most powerful country in the world by far still doesn't matter, with two very different governing philosophies for the likely two candidates, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, then, of course, the Colorado ruling of just the other day. And let me just say about that, I'm a believer in a Jeffersonian sense of democracy. You don't, as we said in Vietnam when it made no sense, you don't bomb the village in order to save it. You don't protect democracy by lessening democracy. Let's let the people decide if Donald Trump is fit to be president or Joe Biden is fit to be president. I've always believed in the American people, and I continue to do so. But this is the pivotal election of the next year, and really will set our course on two really radically different roads, a Wilsonian road or a more realist road, and we'll find out. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this an awful lot as we move from the silly season after the holidays into Iowa, New Hampshire, and then Super Tuesday.
Yeah. Great thoughts and perspective. John, before we wrap it up here today, we got about a minute or so. Any final thoughts for folks to remember here as we wrap up the year, as we look at the world of geopolitics, or anything you want to reiterate to folks today?
I would just say that we always talk about risk, but there are an awful lot of rewards out there. If you look at the state of India, for instance, which is now growing at 8%, the world's most populous democracy is booming. And this is a market that's going to grow and grow and grow in the next generation. This is very good news indeed. The fact that the Ukraine war has thrown the United States and Europe back together to talk about geostrategy, this is very good news indeed. And the fact that we have the genius of the private sector in the United States, which continues to, despite all the shenanigans in Washington, power us along, this is very good news indeed. It isn't all doom and gloom. There are an awful lot of opportunities out there, too.
Well, again, his new book, The Last Best Hope, A History of American Realism, is available for pre-order right now. It will be available in hands on January 10th. And I know I'll post a link to Amazon if anyone wants to pre-order that. We'll get that shared on the AOA social media accounts, Facebook and X, etc. And really do appreciate the time and a conversation. John, thanks for joining us here. As always, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you. We'll look forward to catching up with you in 2024, John.
Merry Christmas, Jesse, and can't wait to see us all back in the new year.
More Best of AOA coming up next. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
This is Ernie Johnson Jr. Sports is about overcoming obstacles, and college coaches work hard to help young men overcome Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's called Coach to Cure MD, and you can help. Text the word CURE to 501-501 to donate $25 on your next mobile phone bill. Or go online to coachtocuremd.org. Text the word CURE to 501-501. Help coaches cure MD.
Brought to you by the American Football Coaches Association.
Even though everyone's daily lives have been recently changed, NTEC's ongoing commitment to keep our communities connected hasn't. NTEC's fiber optic networks provide reliable internet, telephone, and TV services that are meeting the challenge of today's unprecedented communications and entertainment needs. Whether you're working, learning, or just unwinding, you can be assured that NTEC will keep you online. Contact NTEC today and let them prove to you that they are your premier hometown connection.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location, next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Take a trip to the grocery store, and you'll pay record high prices for food, while multinational corporations rake in massive profits. Meanwhile, the farmer's share of the food dollar is only 15 cents. Farmers Union is fighting for laws in the Farm Bill, like a competition title, that promote fair markets. A healthy and vibrant food system is possible, but we can't get there without fairness for farmers. Visit fairnessforfarmers.org, paid for by National Farmers Union.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on our Best of AOA, Agriculture of America, Happy New Year to you and yours. Jesse Allen back with you. And right now, let's head back to the early part of December. I had a conversation with Corey Rosenbusch from the Fertilizer Institute back on December 6th, talking about just some issues that we've been watching in the fertilizer industry, logistics, and more. So let's listen back to that interview with Corey Rosenbusch here on AOA. He is the president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute. Corey Rosenbusch is joining us here on AOA today. Corey, great to have you on the program. I hope you are doing well.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Jesse. It's a pleasure to be here and talk a little fertilizer.
Well, let's dive in and just give us an update on kind of what you're seeing in the fertilizer markets as a whole. I know we've kept our eye on issues in the Middle East and things in Europe, of course, as we get a lot of fertilizer from that part of the world here to the U.S. I know this has kind of been a critical time period for fall application. We're thinking about next spring, et cetera. So just give us the 1,000-foot view to start. How are things sitting right now with the fertilizer market?
Well, I know from a farmer perspective, it's in a much better shape than the roller coaster ride we've been on the last 2 years. So, you know, starting earlier this year, we really saw those prices come down from some of the elevated levels that we'd experienced the last 2 years. I think as I talk to growers, the thing that I always emphasize is that 2018-19, we were coming off of historic lows. So as the supply chains and the chaos that we went through and some of that volatility play out and those trade flows shift, don't expect necessarily we're going to go back to those historic lows because those were decade-long historic lows, but we're now at least a little bit, hopefully, more stable situation. When those prices did come down early this year, I think, we were all hoping for a soft landing. Generally speaking, I think a lot of the ag retail that were holding some positions were able to mitigate that transition well. Not to say everyone did. I think if you talk to folks in the Southeast, for example, there was quite a bit of write-off of inventory that were, setting on from higher prices last year. I think the consistent theme, though, is everybody completely emptied their sheds. And so, we were starting from zero and starting to rebuild up that inventory. As we looked at the fall, I think talking to some of the Midwest retailers, we were seeing record high anhydrous applications, the highest volumes of anhydrous they've ever done this past fall. And so now just getting prepared for spring and hoping no catastrophic events happen that swing us into a bit of chaos.
Well, and I know we follow the fertilizer prices pretty regularly, looking at the DTN numbers that they usually put out weekly, et cetera. And I know things relatively evenly mixed for retail prices at the end of November. It sounds like, though, when I talk to a lot of farmers, as we're thinking about next year, high input prices still remain one of the top issues that farmers are worried about going into next year. Is that, even though prices have come down, is that still one of the chief concerns you hear across the Midwest right now, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is afraid of volatility. When I say everybody, not just growers, but even manufacturers, distributors, retailers, it's those swings that people are concerned about. And if you just go back to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and you think about 40% of global potash being in Russia and Belarus, that's going to have an impact. And, those kind of geopolitical events can happen overnight and can really have a pretty dramatic swing on prices. So we can't control what's happening. I mean, we've been watching Israel and, there are some fertilizer manufacturers in Israel. I was talking to one of our members there, and so far ports have been open. Product has been moving. They've had some labor issues, where their employees have been called up to the defense, the Israeli defense forces to fight that war. And so they've been working through that. But for the most part, no major disruptions there. I think the key thing looking forward, though, and by the way, back to Russia. Russia had a record export year last year. They exported more fertilizer than ever. And so those trade flows found their way to countries that were willing to take it, even if it wasn't Europe or Canada. And so once those settled, we had a little more stability. China, I think, is the wild card here. So even as much as last week, they were halting, I think the term was halting inspections of cargo. As the largest supplier of urea to India, which is the largest buyer of urea in the world, that can create significant disruptions in the urea market. So these little sneezes that we experience across the globe can spread a cold here pretty fast.
We're talking with Corey Rosenbusch, the president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute. Corey, what about the domestic fertilizer industry? I believe it was a little over a year ago, Senator Roger Marshall introduced the Fertilizer Sustain Act as part of kind of looking at the domestic fertilizer industry. And, you know, just thinking about, you know, you mentioned Russia, China, et cetera, trying to minimize some of our dependence on some of that foreign fertilizer. I mean, where do things stand domestically?
Yeah, we have a significant push in Congress right now with the Farm Bill hearing that actually is going on this morning. And we had the extension, of course, but that doesn't slow down the pace to get a new Farm Bill passed. And included in that would be some focus around bolstering domestic production. We're a net importer of fertilizer, and I don't necessarily see that changing, but the more options a farmer has domestically, the better. And one of the biggest hurdles we face is just regulation and permitting, as an example. So as we think about phosphate, one of our phosphate member companies have been going through a process that they just completed this summer to get a new phosphate mine permitted. Mm-hmm. It took 10 years and $32 million to get through that process. And a lot of those being some of the environmental hurdles they have to go through with environmental permitting. And so if there are ways to designate phosphate, potash as critical minerals, it helps expedite some of that process. As we think about general regulations around air permits and being able to expand production plants, it helps us increase our production here. From a nitrogen standpoint, we're still pretty strong. As long as the natural gas situation stays the way it is, United States has some of the most affordable and abundant natural gas supply, which of course is that raw, that stock that goes into ammonia production, and we'll continue to be competitive there. We are watching the winter in Europe and what happens there and see how that impacts natural gas prices in Europe and ultimately impact globally on ammonia.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Farm Bill and that hearing ongoing Wednesday morning. Your thoughts being in D.C., what you've heard in terms of getting this Farm Bill done, a new five-year Farm Bill, and getting as many priorities met as we possibly can in that Farm Bill. I know it's always a heavy lift, Corey. Any updates, anything new you're hearing on that front right now?
Nothing necessarily new other than that, you know, Chairman Thompson is still very committed to getting a Farm Bill passed as quickly as possible. I think the new speaker has it on radar. And so now it's just a matter of getting it prioritized on the calendar and up for votes. So, I can speak from an inputs perspective and then even from an ag perspective, we're all still pushing hard to make sure that happens as expeditiously as possible. We were very relieved by the extension. Two of our priorities, one being the critical minerals, is very important because of the lead time it takes for some of these production plants, but also some of the sustainability and conservation programs that are really important as we think about efficient use of nutrients and nutrient stewardship that are included in the Farm Bill.
Corey, before we wrap it up here a couple minutes, I want to ask about logistics and what the fertilizer industry is watching. We haven't had a whole lot of talk about logistic challenges. I know for a while there we had problems with rail, truck, and the river system. Right now, mainly just the low water levels on the Mississippi River system seems to be the big thing I'm hearing. Is that kind of the same for you?
Yeah, Jesse, I hope you didn't just jinx us.
I hope not. Knock on wood.
Kind of like the announcer's curse on a field goal kick there. I think we've been fortunate on the rail front. Now, some of my member companies will roll my eyes as I say this, but we had a couple of Surface Transportation Board members that oversee rail service that commented to us at a meeting a couple of weeks ago that rail service has, you know, dramatically improved over the last year. And I think that's accurate. I think some of it's because volumes are way down. And so if we see the same kind of uptick in volumes over the next year, will the system handle it? The five major railroads in this country all got new CEOs, and there seems to be a renewed focus on service. So we're currently in a favorable spot from a rail perspective. I think the waterways is always a place where we hold our breath. It's either too much or not enough water. Fortunately, you know, from what I've been hearing, we've been able to mitigate most of that, and it's just about positioning that product in the right spot at the right time. I think what's critical there from a grower perspective is to make sure, you know, they are communicating their needs to the retailer well in advance. That spot market, just in time, last minute, last 20% purchase. You know, if you have a disruption in a waterway, it's hard to get a barge up the river at the last minute if it's needed.
Well, I know folks can stay up to date with everything that is going on with the Fertilizer Institute and the work you guys do, tfi.org. Corey Rosenbusch, President and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute, thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate it. We'll have you back on again soon.
Oh, thanks. My pleasure, Jesse.
More Best of AOA coming up next.
Took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
If you suffer from ugly yellow toe fungus, please listen closely. Toe fungus is not just an embarrassing cosmetic issue. It can be the sign of an underlying health problem. And if left untreated, can also be dangerous. Even a small spot can spread and get worse. But conventional treatments like foot soaks, prescription drugs, and laser treatments don't get to the root of the problem and are no match for drug-resistant fungi. But researchers have developed a new and different at-home treatment, and now thousands of people have finally ended their struggle with toe fungus. It's called Crystal Flush, and it's now available to try risk-free for 60 days. This is a limited-time offer that's not available in stores. Go to crystalflush.com. That's crystalflush.com. You no longer have to let embarrassing toe fungus ruin your life, but don't wait. Try it risk-free at crystalflush.com. That's crystalflush.com.
The average American eats 250 eggs per year, which translates to a total annual consumption of 76.5 billion eggs in the U.S. About 60% of eggs produced here in the U.S. are used by consumers, and about 9% are used by the food service industry. A chef's hat is said to have a pleat for each of the many ways you can cook eggs. The color can range from white to deep brown. Hens with white feathers and earlobes lay white-shelled eggs, while hens with red feathers and earlobes lay brown-shelled eggs. Because breeds that lay brown eggs are typically slightly larger birds, they require more food, making brown eggs usually more expensive than white. You can tell whether an egg is fresh or stale by dropping it in water. A fresh egg will sink, but a stale one will float. Eggs also contain all the essential protein, minerals, and vitamins, and egg yolks are one of the few foods that naturally contain vitamin D. And eggs are also good for your eyes because they contain lutein, which helps prevent age-related cataracts and muscle degeneration. These farm facts brought to you by the American Ag Network.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we wrap up our New Year's Best of program. Let's listen in to the conversation we had with Louis Pugh from OIDA back on December 21st. Louis Pugh with OIDA is with us. Louis, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, my friend, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and yours as well, Louis. Well, I know here just earlier this month, I believe, we had a fairly big hearing with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Anything update for us? Anything come out of that hearing in terms of the issues that you and I have been talking about with these speed limiters and semi-trucks?
Yeah, it was a great hearing. Actually, if you're us, you and I and others and farmers and truckers and everybody out there, because it was mainly supposed to be a hearing just on the agencies updating what they've been doing and all the great work they say they've been doing and or they think they've been doing. And it actually pretty much turned into a kind of a speed limiter hearing. Lots and lots of questions got thrown at Administrator Hutchison, the administrator of the Federal Motor Carriers Association, which that's who oversees trucking out of DOT, of why they're doing this, why they're not listening to truckers, why they think this is going to be safer. Members of Congress, they don't like it. They're not happy about it. And they had no problem calling her on the carpet for it.
Well, I know you and I have talked about this, Louis, just the impacts it could have to the supply chain. I mean, if we slow things down, we're looking at billions of dollars of impact here on supply chains. But also, too, I know some folks, and they may argue and say, well, you know, if we slow trucks down, it'll be safer. But it's not necessarily the case, is it, Louis?
No, it's not necessarily the case at all. I mean, it's been proven time and time again that all traffic moving the same speed is the safest, or roughly the same speed. You know, there could be up to 20 mile per hour differences in the speed of cars and trucks on the highway. It also, unfortunately, sometimes there's already fleets out there that use this as a driver management tool, and it's proven because they still get speed tickets, the drivers and stuff. So what we see is happening is they drive faster in places they normally wouldn't, which is two-lane roads, rural roads, and sometimes construction zones, which isn't good as well. Creates a lot more rear-end collisions, a lot more aggravated drivers. At the end of the day, a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit difference between cars and trucks causes 227% higher interactions between the cars and the trucks. And we all know that's how we have accidents, is interactions between two vehicles. So why would we want to increase that by over 200%?
I think another thing here too, Louie, you could talk about this, just for agriculture, for farmers and ranchers, you know, that may only hop into the cab of a semi during harvest season, for instance. I wonder about, you know, if something like this speed limiter rule would go through, what about some of those costs that truckers would incur or the average farmer when they got to put all this stuff into the cab of their semi truck? I mean, I know that could be a pretty big issue as well, Louie.
You're correct. There's expense to go to all these things. And trucking, farming, all these kind of things, everybody thinks, well, they'll get some sort of grant. Trucking never gets grants or money like that for the trucks. All this stuff will be put on the cost of the owner of the vehicle. And you're correct. There's lots of farmers out there that own trucks. They use them a couple times a year, harvest time, planting time. They don't really use them much other, maybe to haul some cattle to market once in a while. And, yeah, they're going to have to incur an added cost on their equipment, just like the truckers who drive here every day. And they're not going to get that back. They're going to be less productive. It's going to cost them money up front, and it's going to cost them money in the long run because they're just not going to be able to haul and do as much as they could before, which that's another thing to talk about. If we slow all these trucks down, it's going to take more trucks to supply what we need, which will put more trucks out here on the highway, create more congestion, which is another thing we don't need.
We definitely don't need that. Louie, in terms of wrapping up the end of the year and looking to 2024, I know this is an issue that we're going to have to continue to watch, and folks are going to have to speak up about kind of that grassroots engagement, so to speak. If folks want to get involved, have their voice heard, stay up to date on the issues here surrounding speed limiters and trucks and more, what's going to be the best ways for folks to get involved or stay involved, Louie?
Be reaching out to your lawmakers as much as you can. Like I said, there's already a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of congressmen on Capitol Hill. We saw that last week in the hearing. The best thing to do is call your lawmaker, tell them to support H.R. 3039 or Senate Bill 671. Those are the DRIVE Act. And if you can't remember that, just go to fightingfortruckers.com. It's real easy. That's OIDA website, and all the information's there as well. You can actually contact your lawmaker. But, you know, trucking has a direct effect with agriculture because not only do they bring the supplies and haul the goods for the farmers have trucks themselves. So this is something that rural Americans need to be on the phones with, calling about farmers, and anyone else out there who's listening just drives the highways, because this is going to affect all our highway safety.
Good thoughts. And again, that website, fightingfortruckers.com, fightingfortruckers.com. You can find more information. And we've been talking with the executive vice president of the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, OIDA, Louie Pugh. Louie, always appreciate you jumping on AOA with us and keeping us up to date on these issues and more. I'll wish you again a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Louie. Thanks so much. And we'll look forward to talking to you again in 2024.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas to all the farmers and truckers and everybody out there listening. And Merry Christmas to you.
And once again, that was Louie Pugh from OIDA talking with Louie back on December 21st. That is going to do it and wrap up our best of program here for AOA, Agriculture of America. Again, Happy New Year to you and yours. Coming up here in the week ahead, some great conversations to start the month of January and the year off. Darren Newsom with Bar Chart, Vince Peterson, president of U.S. Wheat Associates, Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. We'll have the monthly grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We'll talk with Brian Jennings from the America Coalition of Ethanol, get a South America update with Dr. Michael Cordonier, and much more. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year from everyone at AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school.